Good morning, church family. I want to welcome you to the service, invite you to stand, and let's worship our Lord together.
Come let us adore him. Behold. is gone, and mercy fills the streets. And look upon the one who bled to save me. Walk with him for all eternity. There will be a
good morning, everyone. It's good to see everybody out. Glad you could be here, especially want to welcome our visitors. This morning is going to be a busy morning. We have a variety of other things that we don't normally have our normal morning service. After our opening, we will have a report on Bible school. After the message and the songs and announcements, we will have a baby dedication. Following that, there will be a fellowship meal in the basement. So to start with, please get your red hymnal out. Turn to number 676, and join me in a responsive reading. I will start with the first verse. You will follow with the bold print. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Who forgives all your iniquity. Who redeems your life from the pit. Who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower in the field. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon those who fear him.
And his righteousness to children's children.
And to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments.
The Lord has established his firmament in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all.
Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, hearkening to the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
I invite the ushers forward. Our offering this morning is for our conference, Rosedale Network of Churches. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we can be part of a Bible-believing conference. We just pray for our sister congregations this morning, spread throughout the states. Just pray that your word would be preached and all those, that your light would go out, your message would go out to the world around us. Just pray for the committees and the heads and all the different positions within the conference that guide and direct all our congregations. Just pray as they plan for the national convention out in Indiana, that those plans would go well. I just pray now that the money that is donated will go to growing your kingdom. We pray that in Jesus' name, amen.
In either book, turn to number 50.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise,
that spread the glowing seas of God and filled all these skies. I sing the wisdom that forging the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey.
If you are a teacher or a student of Bible school, I invite you to come forward at this time. This year's Bible school, the theme was Elijah, and it was wonderful. Quit looking around to see if everybody else is coming. They're coming. It was Elijah. And if you listen to the words of the song we're getting ready to sing, you will hear what the themes for each night were. Yeah. And prepare for this song to be in your head for the next while. Well, good morning. I got to catch my breath here. That was good. We are really blessed to have Mike able to write songs like that for Bible school for the last years and years, and they stick really well, and it helps to get our theme of Bible school across. So just want to take this opportunity to publicly thank all the teachers who took part. I love the culture of this church, that it's not hard to find volunteers to do stuff. Love it. Thank you, guys. That's not in every church. It's not that way. So we don't take that for granted, and we really appreciate the time that you all took to teach Bible school this year, and love seeing the men especially teaching. I want to make an announcement here before I get started into the message regarding the beginnings of Christianity class that we are going to be starting, not this coming Sunday, but the following. But it would be really good to know if you are going to be taking this class before next Sunday so that we can give you the book. This is a book that we don't go the whole way through. We do the first six chapters. And it talks about what it means to be a Christian. Who is God? And what does that mean? Where are we at in this equation between God and man? And at the end, we will have a baptism at Highland Retreat. It is not a requirement to be baptized at the end of this. Maybe you're already baptized and want to take this class. That's totally fine. This is not just for young children, but we are saying eight and over. And if you are 16 or younger and you're taking this class, so between the ages of 8 and 16, we're asking that you take it with your dad, if possible. And if that's not possible, then with your mom. Because there is some work to do throughout the week. So we are counting on you doing the work throughout the week at the home, and then we'll come back to church and discuss it during the Sunday school hour. So if you desire to be a part of that class, whether you're 80 or whether you're 8, you are invited, and there has been interest in it. We're going to for sure be doing it. So let somebody on the leadership team know if that's something that you would like to do. Once again, it would be great to know by next Sunday so that we can get you the book, and so you can be studying the first chapter that week, and then we'll come to church the following Sunday and go ahead and begin the class. So, want to make that available to you. It's really good to be with you all here today. If you are a casual attender, or maybe this is your first Sunday here, I don't know, but I was on sabbatical about 5 weeks through May and came back at the beginning of June. And this is my first time to speak since then, and Mike thought that it would be a good idea to speak about some of the things that God spoke to me about during that time of sabbatical. Now, some of you are like, what is sabbatical? I went to numerous different churches while we were on sabbatical, and I realized one thing about myself. I'll give you a glimpse into my life. Is I found out about myself that I really like going. If I'm not going to be here, I go to more conservative churches, and I like small churches when I'm visiting somewhere else. I don't necessarily want to be a part of, I don't want this church necessarily to become small, but I do enjoy going to the very informal feel of a small church. So we spent time in a Beachy Amish church, we spent time in a Southeastern church, and we spent time in a BMA church. And it was a wonderful time with the believers there. The purpose of a sabbatical is, if I was going to boil it down, is not simply a chance to disappear. It's not simply just a time to go and take a vacation and to check out and just get lots of work done. Rest is part of it. But the kind of rest that you're seeking in a sabbatical is a different kind of rest. And it's not a vacation. There was many things that I was intentionally trying to do, trying to spend extra time in the Word, trying to deepen my relationship with Jesus Christ and my family, and to spend a lot of time in prayer, and to wrestle with two things. I think that this is the two things that is good to wrestle with, whether you're here this morning and need a sabbatical, or whether you're just like me and you came off of one. I think we all are wrestling with this, and that is the wrestling with who we are, with our identity, and secondly, who we are called to be and what we are called to do. If we wrestle with this as believers, if we wrestle with our identity, it will lead us to rest in Christ. If we wrestle with our calling, it will lead us to rest, not defeat. If there was ever a time that we are wrestling in our world with who we are and what we're called to do, it's right now. Our culture says everything is up for grabs. Even our churches say you need to figure out who you are and then you can be helpful and all these things. We're wrestling. We're wrestling. Jesus has a different commandment for us. But we'll get into that. Identity and calling work in tandem together. If you don't know who you are, if you're struggling with your identity as a person this morning, you will not live out your full calling that God has for you in your life. And you won't feel as though your calling is a blessing to be used by God. We see that in Scripture. If you have been reading through the Bible in a year, you have in the past gone through the story of Israel and how they said, "We want a king." Why did they want a king? Why were they wrestling with that? Because they wanted to be like the other nations. They had an identity crisis. God was their leader. And they said, "We want a different identity. We want to be like the world." And we see that all throughout the kings. We see kings who struggled with who they were. They would set up pillars and set up different gods for Israel when there was only one true God. Because for sometimes they were scared of the people. Sometimes they were scared of defeat from the enemy coming in from all sides. Whatever it was, their identity was not found in God as their king. So I briefly want to talk on two areas of identity that I've wrestled with, and I believe each of you most likely are wrestling with as well. So as any good student of preaching would do, I typed into AI and said, "What does identity in Christ mean? What does this mean?" And it came up with an awesome answer, and I'm going to read that. "The concept of identity in Christ refers to the understanding that a believer's true identity is found in their relationship with Jesus Christ, not in worldly achievements, social status, or personal characteristics. This new identity is received through faith in Christ and is characterized by adoption into God's family, forgiveness of our sins, and a transformed life." Amen. That's a long way to say what 2 Corinthians says, and it says this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, and the new has come." We live in a Christian culture that struggles with our identity in Christ. We promote performance. We promote meeting a status quo. Before you can be secure in Christ, you have to do this long checklist of things. And while there's blessing in a holy life, one that has high standards, one that is, as the last part of this verse says, transformed, it's important to be transformed, but that's not what makes our identity in Jesus Christ. There's only one thing that makes us secure, the only one thing that creates an identity in Jesus, and that is when you make him Lord of your life. I often, and some of you, I've talked to lots of you, but too often I focus on my failures of the past. I remember them far too well, instead of the work of Jesus Christ and the perfection that he sees when he looks at me. Do you believe that? That when God looks at you, if you are in Jesus Christ this morning, when he looks at you, he sees a perfected son and daughters. It has the cleanliness of Jesus Christ. How amazing is that? But far too often, I look at my sins of the past. I look at the way I live, my pride, my even currently, the way I respond to someone or something like that. I say, "Man, how could God use me? I'm such a worthless vessel for him to be using." Jesus says, "The old is gone and the new has come." Do I truly believe that God has made me perfect, that he has forgiven my sins? If you don't live in that reality, if that's not your identity this morning, you are cheapening the power of the cross on your life. Colossians 1 says this: "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because you were evil, because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through the death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. God declares you, God declares me perfect through the blood of Jesus Christ. The day after I started my sabbatical, I have a prayer warrior in this congregation, and she sent me this verse. It says this, "But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me." And I thought, as soon as that verse came in, I was like, this is going to be the theme of my sabbatical. Because do I believe God will hear me if I wait on God, my Savior? Far too often, I let all these past failures, these current failures, cause me to believe that I have no authority in Jesus Christ and that I am in defeat because of my sin. But Jesus' blood has washed me and you white as snow. It is interesting that that passage I just read came from Micah 7:7. She followed that passage by saying, "Micah, you are made perfect in Jesus' eyes." Micah 7:7. It's like, man, that's awesome. That is cool. I need to hear that. Do you need to hear that this morning? That God's work is complete for you. You do not need to continue the work that he has done on the cross. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this. "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" The second part of identity that I would like to touch on this morning is identity in the world. So first, we talked about our identity in Christ. That is what is the same for each of us, that Jesus is calling you to be a follower of his and a disciple of his. The second point is different. It plays out different for each of us. We struggle in different ways, but the reality of the wrestling is true for all of us. The identity in the world. What is our identity in this world as followers of Jesus Christ? And I think about that with some of you. I walk with you all in this. When you're in school, let's say, who am I at school? Am I the man of God? Am I the woman of God that God has called me to be? How do I fit in here? What is my place? Some of you have wrestled with church. Maybe you've come from a church that you felt like you were wrestling with your identity. Maybe this church you wrestle with. Who am I? How do I fit in? What is my place here? How do I fit in? I don't talk like them. I don't act like them. I don't look like them. How is it that I fit in here? And that's kind of the context of what the identity in the world is that I'm talking about. I've struggled a lot with this over the years and have found a peace, but I'm sure that I will continue to wrestle with that and find myself shaken at times. Two times in my life that I was really shaken in this identity of who am I, and am I going to rest in my identity in Christ, or am I going to let what the world tells me, calls me to be shaken? One was when I was in my late teens, early 20s. And I'm a person who prioritizes relationship. I always want people to like me. So for pretty much my whole life, I've been able to, if there's somebody who doesn't like me, I can tell a joke at the right time or make things go over. And for, I think, the very first time in my life, I had someone in my life that there was nothing I could say. There was nothing I could do. There was nothing my personality could overcome. There was nothing in me that would cause this person to receive me, to accept me as who I was. And I really struggled with that. I really struggled with that because my identity was in who? Myself. It was in my personality. It was in that I can control how people feel about me by doing these certain things. And there was nothing I could do to make this person think highly of me. And I was shaken. I dealt with years a bitterness in that relationship, and did not do well at finding my identity in Christ. The second time that I really wrestled with this was a few years ago when I was asked to become the lead pastor of this church. And there were people who, for different reasons, did not think that I was a good person for this job. And you know what? I didn't feel like I was a good person for this job either. I completely agree that I didn't see myself as someone who should take this job, or I felt called to this job, but I didn't feel like I was qualified to take this job. And I really wrestled during that time of, who am I? Am I secure in Jesus Christ? And I appreciate the people in my life that really pointed me to Jesus and finding my identity in Him, and instead of who the world says I am. Because I don't care who you are this morning. I don't care what your role is in a business, in a church, or whatever. If your identity is in yourself, if it's in your pride, you will crumble and you will fall. There's only one stable thing, and that is Jesus Christ. And I am so grateful for that season in my life, because it really showed me areas of pride that I had in my life that I didn't see. And I'm grateful for people that exposed that in my life and areas that needed pruning. So sometimes when your identity is being shaken, it's because God is desiring to show you the areas of your life that He wants to work on. First John 2 says this: do not love the world or the things of this world. If anyone loves this world, or themselves is another way of saying it, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. I want to talk about calling, something that I probably wrestled with more than anything during this season of sabbatical. So what does it mean to be called? And do I have a calling? Do you feel called this morning? And do you believe that God has called you to a certain thing? I believe, in a way, we can overcomplicate this idea of calling. And we think that there needs to be anointing with oil or laying on of hands or something like that, commissioning to do a certain task, to call. But simply, part of calling is living out the season that you are called to live right now. Each of you are living out different things, whether you're a mom with children at home, whether you're a dad providing for your family. You are called to thrive during this season of calling in your life. And we can often gloss right over that calling and say, well, I'm not really called to anything. I'm just a person who goes to church, or I'm just a person who does this and that. You are called. If you are in Jesus Christ, you are called to do work. There's also another kind of calling, and it's different than just the generic life cycles that we go through. Have you all, maybe I'm the only one, and I believe that this goes back to our identity as well, probably because I feel like I deserve punishment or something like that down in deeply. But when there's like a missionary, or like you hear of like an opportunity to go on the mission field or something like that, I'm always worried. God is going to call me to do like the last thing that I absolutely do not want to do. Like if there's a job, like what's the worst thing? Like if I had to go work in a nursing home for like 70 hours a week or something. Like, that's certainly what God is going to call me to do, right? Why do I view it that way? Why do I view calling as something that is laid on me as a curse? The reason is, like I said, because my identity is in myself as somebody who's God is looking to discipline, looking to, instead of a God who is looking to delight and to promote people into the calling that He has created him to do. This week's Bible school, as I said, was from Elijah in 1 Kings. And we see Elijah wrestling with that call. We see a man who is going before kings and calling them out, and he is killing lots of prophets, and fire's coming from heaven, and he's raising people from the dead, and it's amazing. And where do we find him? Right after the altar scene, and right after he outran horses, we see him under a tree in the desert saying, "Lord, just take me. There's no one else." Self-pity was riding deep on him. And we see a man struggling with his calling. Why? Because his identity was shaken. He was just done with what he was doing. God won't necessarily call you to what you want to do, but he will call you to what he has created and empowered you to do. Probably my area of greatest conviction during the sabbatical was this, is that I don't really want to be a pastor here. And I think I often verbalize that way too much. And at the very beginning of my sabbatical, I was listening to a podcast. And the person said this. He said, "The yoke of calling is a privilege to carry. It's not a burden that you want to just stumble through. God has considered you worthy of carrying that load, and you should consider it an honor." And it cut me to the core, because I often, whether it's pride and at the root of why I don't want to, a lot of it's just because I think it's really fun to farm, and that's what I want to do, right? But I do believe God has called me to this, and I also think I have been verbalizing it too openly that I don't want to do it. So the reality is this: I do want to do it because it's what God has called me to do. And I felt very convicted during my sabbatical that I was letting my pride and my plan for my life get in the way of what God desires to do through me here. And that I will never receive, and you all will never receive, the blessing of my leadership. I will never receive any blessing from it if I don't do it to glorify God and for his purposes, instead of trying to follow my own plan. Are you ready to surrender? Am I ready to surrender to whatever God has for you or for me? If I'm doing what I'm called to do, my identity is secure in Christ, I will find rest in that calling. Do you believe that? No matter what you're called to, no matter how hard the load feels, no matter what, if you are in the calling that God has for you, you will feel rest under the yoke of his calling. How do I know that? Because it says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." My yoke is easy. It's not burdensome. Jesus spoke in John 12, and he said this. It's powerful, and I believe it's an appropriate prayer for each of us when it comes to our calling. This is right near the end of his life, some of the last things Jesus said to his disciples in John 12. "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." So what's it talking about here? It's talking about you. It's talking about me. "Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My God will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." Maybe that's where you're at this morning. "Father, save me from this hour. Save me from whatever I'm going through." Jesus says this: "No, it was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." That's my prayer this morning for me. That's my prayer this morning for you. That no matter what, we wouldn't say, "Lord, spare me from this hour." but that we would say, Lord, you've put me here for this time, for this reason. Father, may you be glorified, and may your name be exalted. So what do I want you to take away this morning? The result of living in your calling is rest and peace. But in this world, you will have great trial, the word says. And you can be easily shaken. But come back and cling to the rock of Jesus Christ. I've heard the illustration before of an airline pilot who was driving a small plane. It was probably like a 15-seater. And this is a true story. Was driving an airplane. And while they were taking off, he heard rattling coming from the back. So after they got up to about 4,000 feet, he went back in his plane. There was no passengers in at that point. It was just him and another pilot. He went back to investigate what the rattling noise was in the airplane. And as he went to investigate, he realized that the door was ajar and that it needed to be closed or the door was going to fly off. So as he was trying to get the door corrected, it actually blew open. And as it blew open, he was holding onto the handle, and it pulled him out of the airplane, and the steps fell out, and he fell out and tumbled out. The other pilot looked back. He heard what was going on and realized the other pilot had fallen out of the plane. So he radioed in to the traffic control and also to the Coast Guard because they were over water and said, gave the coordinates and said he had fallen out and we were going to go to the nearest airport to land because he was just so overwhelmed by the reality that his co-pilot had fallen out of the plane. Well, as they landed and the crews came to the airplane to investigate how the door had fallen off, they realized this man is underneath the plane. As he had fallen out of the door, he had grabbed a hold of the chair rail and he had held on during the wind blowing against him, through the landing, he had to hold himself up, and it took them minutes to pry his hands off of the bars of the plane so that he could be free to go to the hospital and see if he had any lasting injuries. So what does this story have to do with our calling and with our identity in Jesus Christ? Some of us this morning are holding on for dear life. You know, I hear a lot of crying babies this morning, and there are a lot of tired moms living out their calling right now, a lot of tired dads living out their calling, and you are holding on for dear life. Jesus Christ is our rock. He is a firm foundation. And if you feel like the winds of this world are blowing against you in your calling, if you feel like your identity is being shaken by the world, that you're not good enough, that you're not beautiful enough, that you weren't created in his image, that everybody else is called to something except for you, take hold of the truth of God and believe that he is our foundation, that he is a stair rail worth clinging to. Let's pray together. God, I want to just take this moment to confess that we often let pride and our plan stand in the way of the blessing of rest in Christ. And Father, I pray, first of all, that you would continue to convict my heart in this reality, but also convict everyone here, Lord, that as we shift our gaze towards the world's identity and who they say we are, that we would be reminded to look back at our identity in Christ. Because it's only through that, Lord, that we can have any direction in our calling. Father, we're all called to different things, different seasons. None of us is called to anything greater than anybody else. It's just what you have us to do at this time. May we live our lives with an open hand. I thank you for those that have modeled that well and have lived life, a life that is one of surrender to Jesus Christ. And may we, as a church, a Dayton Mennonite church, be a source of peace to our community and that we would carry well the yoke of calling. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In your green hymnals this time, number 568. Again, number 568 in your green hymnals.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and a
tomorrow will be the ladies' jail service. Carolyn Landis, Miriam Crowder, and Carolyn Heatwo, and Laura Wise will go. So let's be in prayer for them. Wednesday morning, the ladies will have the sewing circle. So I want to invite everybody to that. Tuesday morning, guys, remember our men's prayer meeting, both at 5 and 6:30. We'd love to see you there. Tonight, James and Melanie Wanger will be hosting an update on their business transformation work here in the basement, giving you a little report on what's going on in Uzbekistan. There's a lost and found box there at the head of the stairs as you come up in the back, so if you're missing anything, be sure to look into that. In 2 weeks, we have communion, and then that evening, there will be our Who's Coming for Supper program. Are there any other announcements? If not, let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you we could meet here this morning, worship you, learn about your word. Lord, we pray that we would each be able to find our identity in you, that your name would be glorified through our life. We just pray that we would lay down pride or anything in our life that would hold us back. We just pray that you would guide us in our daily walk, that we would live out that calling faithfully, that when we meet you in eternity, we may hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Mr. Sean.
So now it is time to transition into our baby dedication time. And I would like to go ahead and invite the three families forward who are participating in this. What a special thing this is. What a blessing this is to have so many children to be able to dedicate to the Lord. And seems like it's something that is a need quite often these days. And what a blessing. This is a special time in the life of our church. It's where we can come alongside the parents with love, prayer, and support. And today is a public declaration that none of us have parenting figured out, and we recognize that it takes the work of God in our children's life to draw them into Himself. So today we stand together to surrender these precious children back to Him in His service. We can share now. Ethan, start with you.
Break the ice since we've been here a couple times. This is my wife, Grace. I'm Ethan Harris. There's Samuel, Jake, Luke, and Annie, and our newest addition, Maple May. No, we didn't have syrup that morning. we just like the name, and it's pretty, and it means, comes from, derived from the maple tree, evokes qualities like strength, endurance, and natural beauty. And our prayer for her is just to grow up being the beautiful daughter and that God has made her to be, and just to guide her through her journey, and that she just grows up to follow Him, and from the help of the church and family and friends, just to help guide us and help guide her, and just for her to make the right decisions and to main decision to follow Him, and just to be able to give her life to Him, and that you just she just is protected. So thank you.
Good morning, church. I would give an introduction, but you probably already know who I am and are probably tired of hearing my voice already. So but we are Ian and Arlene Trissel, and this is Elliot Isaac. Elliot's a name that we chose partly because I just liked it, but another part of it is also because it fit, the meaning of it fits so well into a prayer that I've been praying for him since I learned of his existence. And I would pray that, I prayed for health, I prayed for strength, and all the things that you want your child to have. You want him to be attractive, you want him to have good vision, good hearing, and all the wonderful things. But above all those other things, I prayed that he would have, that he would seek God with all his heart. And so with that, Elliot's name, and it's originally a Hebrew name. It actually derives from the name Elijah, funny enough, but it means the Lord is my God. And so my desire this morning is to bring this before you as a church. We have influence over his life, and we have a lot of influence over his life, but a lot of his peers are the young crying kids that you hear throughout Sunday. Those are going to be his peers. So I'm asking especially you parents who are out there to help with that, that desire, and help instill that in your children as well, so that Elliot grows up that way as well. I want to see life in the church as well. And Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." We need help with that. I don't know what I'm doing. We're two 20-year-old parents. Help us figure that out. If you've got any advice, we'd be more than willing to hear and love to listen to what you guys have to say. Thank you.
Good morning, church. For those of y'all that don't know, I'm Rhett Klein. This is my wife, Elena, and our son, Sawyer Bo. James 1:17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above," and Sawyer has definitely been a good and perfect gift to us, as well as God's faithfulness on display. We're so grateful for such a solid church today, to walk alongside of us as we race all year to know and love the Lord. And we appreciate your prayers and encouragement as we lead our family. Thank you.
Thank you all for sharing that. So now at this time, I'm going to read you all some vows, and I would like to hear each of you say, "I do," after each vow. Do you dedicate yourself to pursue relationship with God by trusting in the finished saving work of Jesus Christ and depending upon the Holy Spirit to guide and to direct your life, knowing that the life you model will shape your children more deeply than the words you say? Do you dedicate yourself to raise your children with biblical love, instruction, and discipline? Will you teach your children to love Jesus as knowing that your primary responsibility as a parent is to train your child to follow Jesus? Praise Jesus. I invite those who are praying for the babies to make their way forward at this time.
This little girl's great-grandfather. I got 20 of those. So we'll go pray over her. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for her, this child. Thank you for the many blessings you give us all. Thank you for this family, that they have other children that's great, and bring them up in God's way. I know they will. So this little child will be brought up the right way to love Jesus Christ, our Lord. Keep us safe now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this blessing of baby Elliot, and thank you for the parents you've chosen to raise him. I pray a blessing of wisdom for Ian and Arlene, that they might have wisdom to know how to raise him to fear, love, and honor you. And as Ian mentioned, Proverbs 22:6 says that if we raise a child in the way they should go, when they're old, they will not depart from it. We desire this for Elliot. And I pray blessings over Elliot, blessings of health, that he might continue to grow, mature well, blessings of spiritual strength, that he might stand resilient against the darkness of this world and shine your light as a beacon in the night. And blessings of spiritual gifts, that he might have the tools he needs to bring you honor and glory. Thank you so much for your promises, protections, and provisions. And thank you for Elliot, in Jesus' name.
Lord, we come to you thanking you for this moment. We pray a special blessing on Sawyer. We pray for Rhett and Elena, that they will be given strength, courage, wisdom, and that in your word you have stated that children are heritage from you, and it's a special blessing to have this child in each of our grandchildren. But today we want to raise Sawyer to you, and you ask that you watch over him and care for him and give him guidance, give Rhett and Elena wisdom, patience, and that they can bring him up to that he can serve you in whatever capacity that you will have for him to do. We just pray a special blessing on this church and the leadership and the others that will have an impact on his life, that they will always be a positive influence, and for all of us, that we can look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that when we come to the end of our life, whether that is short years or long years, young or old, that we can hear those words, "Well done, a good and faithful servant." And in Christ's name, we offer you this prayer. Amen.
Thank you all. Would the congregation please stand with me? We'll close the service out in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of life today. We praise you for Sawyer, for Maple, and Elliot, They are fearfully and wonderfully made, created in your image, and entrusted to us to care for, nurture, and protect. Today we dedicate them to you with gratitude and with reverence, acknowledging that each of their lives carries a divine purpose written by your hand. And we ask that you sustain their lives for many days and surround them with your protection. Guard their hearts and minds. Keep them from the snares of sin and the consequences that pull us away from your love. Let your grace go before them, behind them, and beside them in every step that they take. Father, we believe that you set apart each of these children for your glory. Call them to yourself at a young age, so that they may grow to know you intimately, to walk with you faithfully, and to live out the purpose you have placed within them. Grant their parents wisdom, joy, and strength as they love, nurture, and protect, and teach these little ones. May these families be surrounded by a community that reflects your truth and your love, and may their home be a place where the name of Jesus is lifted high. May your spirit rest upon Sawyer, Maple, and Elliot in all the days of their lives. May they walk in your light, filled with your love, and transformed by your grace. Father, as we gather in the basement after this for a fellowship and to eat a meal, I pray that we would be intentional with our relationships and building one another up in love. Thank you for the food that we have to eat, and bless it to our bodies. In the name of Jesus, we say, amen. Go in peace.